We are all miracles and must make the most of our limited time here. Each of us have these unique gifts to contribute, and it's our job to develop these gifts and give them away. The preschool SLP is about working smarter to create real change in ourselves and in others. Being an SLP is a mission. Let's discuss topics that matter. What are the game-changing strategies? How can we treat the whole child? How can we create the shiniest versions of ourselves and of our clients? We're here at the drawing board for a reason. Together, let's create better. If you work with children with autism, this is an episode you cannot miss. We are going to talk about the mental health of children with autism. Three things you can do that's going to help their mental health outcomes. This is hot off the press, 2023-2024 research. I can't wait to share it with you. And we're also going to talk about the co-concurring psychiatric conditions that occur with autism, because children with autism are at a much, much higher risk for a co-occurring psychiatric condition. So because autism is so pervasive and it affects every area of the child's life, you can have an iceberg effect in which you don't see the co-occurring mental conditions that are also existent. They're overshadowed by the autism. But today we're going to take a look at those conditions, because it's really important that we treat not the mouth, but that we treat the child. And we're going to talk about what we can do to help the child express themselves so that the child is going to have a better mental health outcome. And I'm going to share with you only what we have research for, and not because I said so kind of business. So before we dive in, let's talk about the co-occurring conditions and how pervasive those are. What we know from the research is that victimization is rampant for children with autism. 84% of children have reported that they have been the victim of bullying, cyberbullying, sexual or physical abuse. That in itself puts them at risk for mental health issues. We know that a third of them are likely to report suicidal ideation, age 16 to 21 years. That's higher than their neurotypical peers. We also know from the research is that they're 8 to 11 times more likely to have the following conditions. So ADHD, you know, ADHD, that's me. Another condition they are more likely to have is bipolar disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, psychosis, and schizophrenia. So when we look at those conditions, they are 8 to 11 times more likely to have these conditions than the general population. Very high risk. In addition to that, when we look at depression, the rate is as high as 50% of children with autism also have depression. Now, this rate is highly variable. It's between 25 to 50. So there's a lot of variability. And the reason for that is because this is an area that's really in its infantile phases when it comes to research. This is a new frontier. If you're a researcher, go into autism research, psychological disorders, how we're going to treat these psychological disorders, these psychiatric impairments. This is a new frontier area. So as a result, things are not well defined. So maybe in one study, they said, have you experienced depressive symptoms in the last 6 months? They count that as depression. Maybe in another study, it's this person has been diagnosed as having clinical levels of depression, has received psychiatric care for it. When you get a lot of variability like that, it's because the field is new and things are not defined as of yet. So that's how the field of autism is. We're going to talk about the intervention as well. It's the same way. This is a new frontier in how do we provide intervention for mental health conditions for children with autism. So that and how we're going to define it and how pervasive it is because of the iceberg effect, because everyone sees the autism and everything associated with the autism. But there's also the mental health condition that's hidden behind that, that's been overshadowed by the autism. They're saying clinical levels of anxiety disorders, it could be anywhere between 25% to as high as 80% when they look at the meta-analytic research. So there's a lot of variability there too as well. What we do know at the end of the day is that children with autism are more likely to experience depression and they're more likely to experience anxiety disorders than their neurotypical peers. So when we're looking at all of this, we know under that iceberg of autism, we are likely to see co-occurring mental health disorders. We want to help these children in preventing the development of these co-occurring mental health disorders and improving their mental health outcomes. And we know that what we do behaviorally does matter, and it does make a difference. And from the research we currently have available, there are three things that we can do as speech pathologists that we can integrate into our therapy, or as teachers, or as tutors, or as parents, or as interventionists. You don't need a degree to do this. Number one, increase the activity level. So the research has shown that with an increase in activity levels, less sedentary behavior, more physical activities, you want to decrease the screen time and increase. What we know from the research is that with an increase in physical activity for children with autism, you have a decrease in depression and you have a decrease in anxiety. So just think about that. When it comes to physical activity, we know from the research that approximately 90% of children with autism have a significant motor delay throughout the body. It's not treated, but it's there. So how would that affect your mental health if you're locked in a body, if you have a body, and with that body, you don't have control over your environment. You don't have control over the gestures you use and how you communicate with others, hence the victimization. You don't have control over your ability to express yourself. You are locked in. So communication does not occur within a mouth. 80% of communication is nonverbal. Unfortunately, because of this generalized motor delay, which I've always talked about, because for some reason they're not receiving the physical therapy for it, even though they benefit from it. But this generalized motor delay would obviously impact a child's mental health in the sense that they are locked in from their ability to express themselves, from their ability to communicate with others using their bodies, and their ability to control the environment. That is one thing we want to do, is we want to improve those motor skills, number one. And I think that is best accomplished through task-oriented movement therapy. This is what I do in my CIS membership. And the reason I am a member and the reason I do these activities every week is because I'm not treating a mouth. I'm treating a child. And what I realize is that children with autism, and this is what the research has found, are severely impaired in their ability to engage in goal-oriented behavior using their bodies in space. Using your body and achieving a goal is something that's very difficult for children with autism. Number two, improving executive function skills. So what the research is showing us is that children with better executive function skills that have autism are less likely to have suicidal thoughts. They have better problem-solving skills. Now, because we know that it's likely that there's more than autism, that there's some co-concurring psychiatric conditions, that there's some struggles that are social emotional, it's very important that these children have executive function skills. And the research is showing that at the preschool level, you can have a major impact in these children's lives. How do we do that? Once again, task-oriented movement therapy. When you're going through these task-oriented movement therapy activities, you want to identify these four steps. What is the problem? What's our plan? What actions are we going to take? And how are we going to check it to completion? You want them to learn that procedure of taking a problem into a solution, into completion. You want that to become automatic. So this is like learning your ABCs or 1, 2, 3s, but this is within executive function. Secondly, we also want to focus on those temporal terms to improve executive function. First, next, then, lastly, because we want to organize those thoughts. Giving them that procedure and that ability to sequence their ideas in a logical manner is really going to pay off dividends in the future, not only for them academically, but also for them social emotionally. The third thing we're going to want to focus on, improve the social, emotional, the mental health of these kiddos. And that's going to be something known as bibliotherapy. Now, bibliotherapy is when you use storytelling. And what you're allowing the children to do is what Daniel Siegel would say, name it to frame it. You're putting logic to your emotions. And that allows you to objectively and logically see a situation. That's what we want the children with autism to do. Now, if they're able to do that, then they're less likely to respond with a fight, flight, freeze emotional response in hurting themselves and hurting others. Instead, they're going to be able to take a step back and logically see the situation and use their prefrontal cortex, use their frontal lobe in making decisions instead of their amygdala. So the neat thing about the brain is it works like a light switch. When you're using the prefrontal cortex, when you're using the frontal lobe, you're outside of the amygdala. It's an either or proposition. So what the research has shown, if you feel bittersweet about something like, oh my goodness, I'm graduating. That means I'm never going to see my friends again. I'm going to miss them, but I'm so happy that I'm graduating. And you're like, I want to cry and I want to laugh at the same time. Or I'm retiring. I want to laugh and cry at the same time. Your brain is literally like a light switch. It's activating the prefrontal cortex, the frontal cortex, which you're really, really happy logically. And then you feel that loss of friendship and that amygdala brain being so sad and scared of the abandonment. So it goes back and forth and the light switch is flicking back and forth. It doesn't light up simultaneously. So what we want to do is get these children out of that trauma brain and get them into the logical, high-order thinking brain, and stories do that. So we want to focus on storytelling interventions. Those are the three key components that you can include in your speech-language therapy, in your teaching, in your parenting that is going to improve the mental health outcomes of these kiddos long-term. If you want to know more about the specific strategies, what it looks like, I'm going to be sharing video clips in the speechpathology.com series. I'm also going to give you the step-by-steps. I'm going to share with you the research behind what we're doing. Make sure to check out the autism series this month, every Thursday. Don't miss me live, 12 noon Eastern time. Make sure to give me a shout out. It would really mean the most to me if you said, I listened to the Preschool SLP podcast. I'm a listener. It's really nice to know you're not alone at the intervention table. You're not alone when you're presenting. It's kind of a strange experience because you're live and you don't get to see the audience. So you're just giving it all out there and you don't get that feedback. So getting feedback from you would really mean the world to me. Well, that said, I want you to roll up your sleeves and I want you to make the world a better place. One child at a time, you are always going to be first.